So today I wanted to talk a little bit about the place of peace. Like, there is a place of peace, and we can have that place. We should have that place. It's a good place. It's a great place. And God has that for us. There's a power of finishing something and not finishing something. They both have a power. They both have an influence over how we feel, over how we move forward. For example, I think of mowing my lawn. My lawn has several aspects to it. I have a riding lawnmower. I have a push mower. And then I have a trimmer. And it requires all three of those items. However, sometimes the weather doesn't avail itself for me to get through all three of those those pieces. And for the push mower, since it's between bushes and stuff, sometimes it's a little bit of a hassle to go into the barn, pull that out, and walk all the way across the half acre and do it. And then it's the trimmer. So if I only get done with one of those parts, which would probably be the riding part, because that's the easiest, fastest way to get it done, and I'm in my house, I can look out my window, and I know I can't say the words, "That looks great," because my mind is focused on this little area that still needs completion. Still needs to be trimmed, still needs to be push mowed. So you can see that the peace that I would have otherwise is just not there. But when I have all three of those done, I'm telling you, it is like heaven for me. Number one, I don't have to touch the lawn for another, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, depending on the rain. So I can be looking out my window, and I am just at peace. I'm overjoyed. I'm like, look at it. Look out the window. It is just, lawn is mowed. Look in between the bushes there, and it's mowed there. And it doesn't bother me that there's grass clippings, you know, on them. That part doesn't bother me. But it's just mowed in between, and the little brickwork, it's been trimmed. Gosh, what a great feeling, you know? And you can relate to that if you ever walk down a sidewalk and you know that the edge is just freshly trimmed and ground up, whatever tool they use to just get a nice trim job on that. It feels good to be complete. But when it's not complete, whatever it could be, I know we all have different jobs here. When the job's not finished, it's hard to have the full, complete peace. But when the job is done, you relax, you close the binders in your mind and say, done. Good job. You know, I've been paid, and sometimes that payment is peace, you know. But when it's unfinished, we pay what I would call a tax. It's a mind tax. Because even though what you started isn't finished and you wanted to get it done or you didn't have enough time to get it done, you just feel like it's taking a toll until it gets done. Because oftentimes when it's not, it's just there. We don't constantly think about it, but it's there and we know it's there. And in the example I gave, every time I walk out the window, I don't look at the great 90% that is beautiful mowed lawn. I look in between those bushes and I think, I got to get back out there at some point, and I got to do the mowing, I got to do all this. So there is a tax that comes with not finishing a job, with not being complete. And it steals your peace. And that's not a good place to be, is when your peace gets stolen. Now, a few months ago, we talked about placebos. And we talked about there being a particular pill on the market, and it was called Zebo, and it was a pill that basically said, how you feel will be controlled by this totally inert ingredient, useless ingredients, sugar pill. And it was quite amazing because it worked. There's been testimonies. It works. Placebos work. Things go through a placebo testing. And what this did was it, and it's an FDA thing, it basically, to go through the FDA and be approved, it has to work. It has to beat the placebo effect. And what that means is what I think is not going to change the outcome. It is going to actually take this product to do it. They do that testing because they know the power of the mind. They know that your mind is a very powerful tool, and can it not complete what this pill can do? So it tells us that when you're taking this, what you're thinking has a frequency. It has, there's something called power of thought. We've all heard it. As a man thinks, so he is. Very true. If I think I'm a free man, I am a free man. If I think I'm in bondage, I'm in bondage. As a man thinks, so he is. So we can see that if we believe certain things, it's been measured that that has a frequency attached to it. If you get in your car and you turn on the radio, radios are a little different now, but, you know, a lot, you know, everything's going digital, but in some, there's something called analog, which means when I turn this dial, it's going to change the frequency that it catches. And you may have a favorite radio station from many years ago. You always remember a favorite radio station, you would turn it, that's where it would be. And even today, you know what the call signal is of that radio station to listen to what you want to listen to. Well, that has a frequency attached to it. AM frequencies tend to be longer. FM frequencies tend to be more closely together and jarred, and, you know. But the important thing is to understand that if you have a radio, your radio, this little box, can catch all of this frequency. And it's just amazing. When I turn this little dial, I can actually catch a totally different signal. I can get country music here. I turn the dial a little. You're still on FM or AM, but now you have a football game. And it's quite amazing because that's the power of frequency and the modulation of how you can just turn it just a little and totally tap into a whole new signal. Whole new signal, because you adjusted the wavelength that you were tuning into, the frequency. So we're going to look at 2 Chronicles 20, 15 through 17. And he said, listen, all of you, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle, and don't switch the slides yet, Andrew. Just keep it right on here. Go back one. For the battle is not yours, but God's. So we can see. What we see here is do not be afraid, because this is not your battle. So this is a situation where the enemy was coming from all sides. They wanted to steal gold, and Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do, but he got with the Lord, and this is what the Lord spoke. All right, now let's go on. Next slide. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Next slide. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. At this point in time, all they know what to do is to go out because the battle is the Lord's. Man of faith, he knows God's voice. He tuned into it, and this is what he heard. So, do not fear, do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against him. That's all he had to go on at this point in time. Oftentimes, we're in a situation where we're faced with something that this is all we can do. Sometimes we do this without hearing the Lord's voice. We just know we have to go out there and fight. In this case, they heard the Lord's voice, and he was encouraged. He knew the Lord's voice. He knew the frequency of the Lord's voice. He got with him. Heard this. All right, let's go on. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Next. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. So let's hold on here, Andrew. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes. Does not say, the Lord set ambushes, and they praised. They were happy, because look what God has done, let's sing to the Lord. It was not a post-reaction, it was a pre-action. And you have to ask yourself, why in God's word would God want it worded like this? When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes. When they began to sing. And so what we hear is they began to use their vocal cords to create a vibration, to create a tone, to create a frequency. And the Lord heard that frequency. And the Lord said, now it's time to set the ambushes. It took a pre-step for God to do what he was going to do. This is how this happened. And this is great. Because it was when they began to sing and praise, the Lord came through. So there was an action before the great action. So we can see that sound is a power. And we know that that's a common phrase. Okay, sound is a power. Well, we've all probably seen, whether it was on TV, YouTube video, of a woman, a guy, somebody singing with their voice and breaking glass. They break glass with the sound of their voice. Now, in this case, it's a sound that we can audibly hear. So it's quite amazing that a sound we can audibly hear can break glass. There is a physical effect from something that we are able to do with our own vocal cords. We don't have to touch the glass. We don't have to throw a rock at the glass. We don't even necessarily have to stand right next to the glass and, you know, try to cause some sort of, you know, vibrational thing, because the tone, the signal, the wavelength is enough to cause the glass to vibrate. And if you've ever seen it in slow motion, it is amazing, because this thing that looks like a solid, I don't know, in my mind, I just picture the classic wine glass. You see this glass as if it's like made of rubber or something, and it just moves the top of it. It's just amazing. You're like, how does glass ever do that? Because, you know, you would never take your hands and do it, because it'll break. But under this sound wave, it moves. And eventually it causes enough stress to where the glass will break. So our sound has power. Dog whistles. I've never heard a dog whistle. I mean, you blow the whistle, it's like, I've never heard that. I've purchased those little deer things you put on the front bumper of your car because it causes deer to avoid you. I've done my best to try to see if those little, you know, deer whistles work with the wind, if I could hear it. I can't hear nothing, you know. But it says, hey, it makes a sound at a frequency that deer hear, just like the dog whistle. So you know that there's sounds that we cannot possibly hear that are existent. And that's amazing, because back in the Garden of Eden, the question arises that, did we actually have a greater sense of our senses? Could we see things that we don't see today? Do we hear things that we don't hear today? And in this world where you can buy, I don't know, 8K TVs, come on, we know we can't see, you know, 8 million colors, you know. How do you do that? You know, how do you... Or we certainly couldn't name them all. I mean, we might see a spectrum and say, well, there's probably 8 million in there if you took every little, you know. But the fact is, come on. There's going to be colors we can't see, and we know there are. We know there's a broad spectrum of sounds, of colors that we just can't see. So we know that there are things that exist that go beyond our senses. Our touch is, you know, we've been very acclimated to our touch. I mean, over the, you know, span of time, we know I feel something. But there are ways that other people who are blind, they have a much greater sense of touch. They can feel things. They can feel temperatures that those who have actual eyesight know, oh, there's a piece of paper. I know I'm grabbing the paper, so I know I'm physically touching it. But if you're blind, you have a greater sense, because your body has become acclimated to stopping, whether it's a glass of water, whether it's a plug that you're plugging into a wall. So you can see that senses become greater. People who are blind have a greater sense of hearing. We know this. There's studies. It's no surprise. It's well documented. And colors. We look at this color blue. That color blue has a different wavelength. It has a different frequency than the color brown. The way God created things is just amazing, because He made us amazing. We are just such creations that God is able to say, and this is very good. And now we come to our voices. Our voices can portray an attitude. And I guess a really good example is an animal, like a dog or a cat, maybe a bird. I haven't had a bird, but quite possibly I know they can probably understand. But when you have a dog, and that dog does something bad, all you have to do is, let's say his name is Butch. Butch, and he knows from the wavelength, from the sound of your voice, I am in trouble. Of course, it almost seems like they know they did something bad. You know, they chewed up a stuffed animal or your shoe, you know. expensive shoe, and all you have to do is butch, and they go down. They know. They sense this vibration. They sense this frequency. This is not a good. What's coming through is not good. So our voices have a wavelength that is pretty much universally understood. There's a reason why somebody can shout in anger, and doesn't take a lot of discernment to figure out if it's coming from your mom or dad. You know what that frequency is. You know that is not a peaceful frequency. Probably in trouble, you know? So the power of sound, the power of voice. Our voice commands things, but our voice can be gentle. When you're talking to your child, when you're reading them a story at night, you know, let's just say it's a story about a duck who wants to get to the water. Your voice changes. Like, and then the duck really wanted to get in the water, and he just loved that water. It was so refreshing. Just loved the water. You see, the voice changes, and something happens inside you as you do that, and you're like, oh, that's peaceful. I like soft talking. Soft talking is nice. It's not as harsh. It's easy. I feel more at ease. Just as I'm talking easier now, you can sense it. You can feel it. It's not as harsh. The point isn't as strong. It's an easier thing. I don't have to be so on guard, but I can just listen. And I can receive better. I can receive in peace. But boy, you get that voice up and it's like, okay, what's going on here? Now I got to, something's going to happen. There's an important point coming up. Something strong is going to come because that voice just got raised and it's really going to powerhouse something in there. That's the sound. That's the vibration. We don't even know that we're doing it a lot of times. We just know that it happens. And when we see these colors, the colors have wavelengths. We can feel it. It's well documented. You go walking outside. Yesterday, I took a walk outside in my backyard, and I was just getting stuffy. I had to get out. I didn't want to go for a long walk in the subdivision on cement. So I went in my backyard, and I just looked at the blue sky. I thought, this is nice. And it was recently mowed, so I didn't have to worry about, you know, any little mites or something jumping on my legs. But I'm telling you, it was peaceful. Just walked to the back, walked back to the house a couple times, and it just, the colors, the serenity, the blue sky, the green grass, the flowers that had purple and pink and white on them, the bushes there, it was just, oh. All the thorns were in the fire pit. I was like, oh, this is nice. It was very peaceful. Now that peace brought with it a vibration to it. Because all of a sudden, my wavelengths, I'll say, were much calmer. And I was just at peace. And I could tell that with that peace came a much calmer wavelength. It just became peaceful. So we need to understand that with what we allow ourselves to see and view comes with an attitude, a form of actions, a form of being, a power force of how you're going to be. And companies know this. Companies have picnics. Companies try to make things calming in the workplace, fun, easygoing, not harsh things, because they know it brings a gentler attitude because of the environment. So the environment has a lot to do with peace. The Bible tells us, Matthew 12:37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Now, how does this fit in with what we're talking about? The words we speak have power. They set off vibrations. They set off peace. They can set off anger. They can set off all sorts of things. But you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now let's take a different angle, a different look at this. If I am feeling condemned, I'm not feeling very well. If I am being praised, I'm feeling pretty great. Scientists have proven that the most trustworthy voice you'll ever hear is your own. You trust your own voice. And you could say it, which has power because you're actually speaking vibrations, but you're also hearing vibrations back in of your own voice. But there's also the just thinking, because you know your voice. You don't have to hear your voice to remind yourself what your voice sounds like. But as a man thinks, so he is. By your words, you will be condemned. And let's take this in a sense of condemned being let down, a feeling of, I didn't do good enough. I let somebody down. I was supposed to do this and I didn't. I'm going to put myself in jail, close the gate, lock it, and just toss the keys out there until I feel like I've paid the price for my own actions. Because, again, we are condemned by our own words. Now, if our words are positive, it brings a different wavelength. It brings a different frequency. And we can speak positive. And we have to remember, how can we speak this positive stuff? Where do we get this positive stuff? We know God's word is true. We know that there's a source. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We have the power of death and life in our tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Vibration. Frequencies. What are we hearing? What are we speaking? Are we speaking life? Are we speaking death? How about to ourselves? But it's more than just us. Because although we trust ourselves, we love ourselves, we're the most trusted source of ourselves, there's another source greater than our own. So it's finding the ability and knowing the ability and acting upon the ability, actually following through, how do I get life? How do I get peace? Life is great, but I want a peaceful life. I want peace in my life. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. These are words that Jesus said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And then we see, not as the world gives do I give to you. So now there's a separation between the peace of the world and what we get from the world and then the peace that God gives. They're both peace, but there's something different. And just as when I was talking softer, you can sense a difference in how you're reacting to a softer voice. You can see it's a more peaceful voice. You have more peace, and that's the peace that God gives us. He doesn't talk loud and rambunctious. He's not anxious, but he speaks in a still small voice. Philippians 4:7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known before God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, this is a promise. The peace of God, not as the world gives, but as He gives. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Why does it surpass understanding? Because we don't know how it works. We just know it does work. We just know it does work. And it will guard our hearts and minds. It's guarding our heart and mind. Have you ever seen a guard guarding something? Something says, I can't get in there because they're guarding it. How often do we pray, Father, send your angels to guard this house, to watch over this house. Father, send your angels to watch over my children as they go to this place. You know, just watch them, keep them safe. You know, we pray that because we know that there's an actual spiritual peace to this guarding. But when the peace of God comes upon us, we can breathe, we can talk easy, we can be relaxed. There's something just amazing about it. And it will guard our hearts and mind. It guards our hearts and mind when we have that peace of God. Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You, Father God, will keep us in perfect peace. Those of us whose mind is stayed on you. Because we trust in you. Who's going to keep us in perfect peace? The Lord, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit within us. He will keep us in perfect peace. And that's an amazing place to be, is in perfect peace. Because in the midst of this world, Jesus says, there will be issues. Issues will crop up. And we need that peace. We want that peace. That peace is there for us. In the midst of the bills being due, in the midst of the car about to break down, yeah, you want peace. And there's a way to get that peace. And there's power in peace. The power of peace creates, sends out a frequency. Now, there's a very, very real spiritual world out there. There are things happening that we don't see, we can't see. We hear stories of people who have messed around with these different areas of dimensions or spiritual worlds, seeing things that just normal people just don't see walking down the street. I'll just use a Ouija board as an example. You know, people see stuff, they say it moves, people hear voices and they think it's the Lord. There's a very real spiritual world out there. And when God gives us that perfect peace amidst all these things coming at us, there's a pressure. A pressure. Just as we don't feel a pressure on our skin, there's a pressure there. You know, I forget how much it is, but there's a pressure on us. The pressure becomes greater underwater. And up in space, it's a lighter pressure. It's not as much. We are lighter, you know, it's different. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Pretty sure it's there. Philippians Philippians, anything that begins with Philippians, it's the only Philippians in there. Nothing? All right. Sometimes the Lord does things because he wants you to receive it in different ways. If anybody who knows the Lord for any length of time knows that God can do anything. So I put that in there. Asher, my worthy mate, was up there and he put it in. I saw it in there. It was actually in there twice. I said, delete one because we don't need them both. So he wants you to receive this by listening. He wants you to catch the sound waves of this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, there it is again, the peace of God, not your peace, not peace as the world gives, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. When you're anxious, there goes something. People know you're anxious. You have outward signs that you can be anxious. But there is things that we don't see that we can catch with somebody. That's why you're able to go, is everything all right? You just seem, something just doesn't seem right. Because you're catching something, you know. Maybe they twiddle their thumbs a lot. That's an outward sign. But there's something much greater going on that you can't see. And we know it because we all get there. We all go through stuff. We're always talking with people, laughing with people, discussing stuff with people. But they don't know that we got a big problem on our hands at our house. They don't know that there's an issue. But we know there's an issue, and it's impossible for that issue to not be present in us. It's there. It is that we tried to box it up and not let that out. But people, we know. We know stuff like that is real. We know people. In Israel, they say a word. They say the word shalom.
That's the way God created it, right?
What a great greeting to have. We don't do that here in America. Some of us may. We may do it occasionally. But when they just meet somebody, shalom. Shake hands, whatever. However they go about the physical greeting. But the word, the vibration that comes out is shalom. And there's a guy on there's a TV personality, an Israel show. And at the end of every show, he says, I want to bless you. And he goes, I'm going to try to get this. He looks right in the camera and he goes, shalom. And it's like, there was something to that. There's something to that peace that just, somehow he just generated peace in me from that because we're present. And what that means, shalom, is peace and tranquility, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, and harmony. Those are good things. If you're going to have something flowing near you, don't you want it to be peace, tranquility, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, and harmony? How do we get in tune with that? Because I know there's one way to get it for sure. That there is, when you hear that word, shalom, and he says just like that, something is happening. First Kings 19:11-13. Then he said, and he was talking to Elijah, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Next slide. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, a still, small voice. Now, there can be a time for the Lord to be in a strong wind. There can be a time when the Lord is in an earthquake. But when we're before the Lord, when we need that shalom, the Lord has that for us. And it's in a, go back one, Andrew. And it's in that still, small voice. There's a time for being in your car and rocking out to Christian music. I love doing it. It brings me to tears sometimes. And I'm just like, oh, Holy Spirit, this is awesome. I wish my radio would go past 45 because I would turn it up. But then there's that time of being with Him and receiving the shalom when I need it, the peace, the tranquility that I need, because the Lord has the fire, He's got the earthquake, but He has a still, small voice, and we have access to that still, small voice. It's the same voice when the disciples were walking away from Emmaus, the road to Emmaus. And they were talking to Jesus, and Jesus vanished. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within us while He was talking to us? There was something there, and they're just talking, and they weren't doing a lot of talking, but they knew. They're like, there was something there. They were hearing the voice of the Lord, and it was doing something. So we need to connect with that still, small voice. It's the frequency, it's the tone, it's the vibration that says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. One of the songs we sang this morning had the words, come surround me with the ever-open arms, come surround me in the midst of all these wars. Come surround me in the forest of your dreams. Come surround me and surprise me once again. Come surround me when you look past all my sin, all these things that I can see so clearly. Come surround me. Come surround me where I end and you begin. I love the scriptures. Do not neglect small beginnings. Do not neglect the time, the silent time that you have with God in silence, learning that still, small voice. Because just as you're just sitting there alone, you and Him, it's taken me a long time to be silent before Him, because I just, you know, stuff goes through your mind and you think, okay, what am I doing? I'm trying to hear something. I'm trying to hear you, God, speak. But for a long time, I just never thought, I can't hear you, because I thought, well, you're God. If you want to speak, you have the voice that can come in. I've heard it before. It was one of the first voices I heard when I became a Christian. He gave me a word. And my wife and I, we would go to downtown Boston, which is where I'm from, and we would sit in, there's a place called Government Center, you know, and we would just sit there, and we would just be silent praying for people as they went by, and I would get visions. So I became a little accustomed to the wham-bams, and Lord, give me a vision for this, and I'd get a vision, and, you know, I would test that vision, is it of God or not? But the still small voice was something that I had yet to really understand because I never gave him that time. I never thought it productive to learn it because he can speak in so many ways. But when I started just sitting down and I could actually, my brain, because personalities are different, my brain could say, there is a reason I'm doing this. It is not a loss, but I can actually go, I can do this because there's a reason I'm doing it. There is a goal I'm going for. And I'm going for that still small voice. So when we sit down before the Lord, we can actually empty our minds and say, Lord, speak to me. So for 1 minute, and then we're going to close. For 1 minute, let's close our eyes. Do what you do, but let's see if the Lord speaks to you and you can find that still small voice. Let's do that. Okay, there's a peace there. God has that peace for us. Father, as we leave here today, continue to remind us that there is a still small voice that's not in the earthquake, it's not in the fire, it's not in the loud worshiping. Those are different areas we can see you and feel you and get to you and experience you and dance with you. But there is a still small voice where your peace that surpasses understanding is. It's that peace not as the world gives, but it's a peace that you give. As we leave here today, remind us to spend that, to begin with the 1 minute of silence before you. And let that grow to 5 minutes. Lord, let that just grow. But let us give you, remind us to give you 1 minute. You're willing to take what we can give. And if that's what we can give in silence before you, you're overjoyed by that 1 minute, by that 60 seconds. And when we get that, when we feel what we get from you, what you give us in that 1 minute, we will increase that because we find peace. Your burden is light. And we can have peace and rest for our souls. Thank you, Jesus, for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Shalom. Go forth in peace.